Hello, everyone. I'm Colin Tester of WrestleZone.com, joined by Robert DeFelice, a gentleman and a scholar, for joining me on a Tuesday night in my time of need. John Clark, right now, his flight home from Tampa was delayed, so Robert DeFelice stepped in, coming in clutch when we needed him the most. I really appreciate it. Robert, thank you so much for doing the show tonight.
Colin, of course, I have no problem ever sitting here talking to you, talking about professional wrestling, maybe the best professional wrestling brand in the world. I'm just excited to talk NXT. I see we got some of the regulars in the chat. You know the deal, guys. Share that link because we love you, but we need to grow this thing. This thing needs to grow. Okay, so you need to share that link, get out there, join in, comment. You know, you're going to show your comments. Let's get into it, Colin.
Let's get into it, Robert. Before we do, though, just a reminder that this show, like everything we do here at WrestleZone, is available on any number of streaming platforms, whether it's SoundCloud, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, whatever it may be. Whatever your platform of choice is, chances are we've got you covered. So make sure to leave a like, subscribe, and show your support. Because, yeah, we do want to grow the brand however we can. But, Robert, this is not the way. The Way lost in the main event. It was an 8-man tag team match with Bronson Reed teaming. Right? Eight man, am I counting right? Oh, yes. Loomis was in there and they disappeared. Bronson Reed, Dex Loomis, Shotzi Blackheart, and Ember Moon teamed up to take on The Way. Robert, we got a little kidnapping here. It seems like NXT likes to kind of go back to the well with this kidnapping stuff. And I don't know how I feel about it.
Nothing says strong connections like a kidnapping, you know? And Indy Hartwell, I think maybe one of my favorite moments ever. Austin Theory tried to stop Dexter Loomis from helping her because she was feigning being passed out. So Indy took it upon herself to get up, throw him out of the ring, lie back on the ground, allowing Dexter to take her to the back. And she even gave an old nod and a wink to the camera saying that she was going to get what she was after. She said in a pre-match interview, "I'm hoping I get in there with him so I can handle my business." And it looks like maybe some business is about to get handled. I don't know. We'll find out.
Oh, business is surely going to get handled. Like you said, based on that little wink there, it seems like they're gonna consummate a relationship. That's a business relationship, if you will. I don't know. I tweeted about it during the show, but I liked the energy where like Candace LeRae felt like, you know, the high school mom trying to stop her daughter from dating the weird goth kid, and it didn't work. You know, and he still wound up with the goth kid, Dexter Loomis.
See, but you know how that story always plays out. The goth kid actually has a big heart, and he donates on the weekends to charity, and he cares about animals. It's all gonna end up well. It's all gonna end up well.
I think so. I think this is a lot of fun. I remember hearing a couple weeks ago some concern that NXT was kind of leaning too much into the comedy here, but the fact that we got this, you know, this little angle in the main event, you know, that was still a great match, that was still kind of advanced this legitimate storyline. I think it's finding a nice balance, and we're seeing a lot of positive comments as well. Mia Lee saying NXT was amazing. Bit Milligan giving NXT a 9.5, coming off of yesterday's Raw that was dreadful, a 9.5, and even if you don't think it was a 9.5, tonight's show was definitely an improvement. Craig Backlund saying NXT was great tonight. Indy was so funny. Indy Hartwell is playing her role very well in this, and Stephen Chambers kind of just flat out saying NXT better than Raw. Definitely tonight, maybe in general. But I like this a lot. Bronson Reed did pin Johnny Gargano, the North American champion. So it would appear that maybe we'll get some more, at least a rematch from that. We did see that title match at NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. So maybe we will see a rematch there. Just that would make sense. He just been the champion. So maybe we will get that. Lots of support for NXT, though. Yeah, friend of the show, James Espanto Fernando Togoy, saying NXT, a breath of fresh air from Raw. Michael Yotha, NXT was awesome. So lots of good stuff here. Good feedback about NXT tonight. This main event was a lot of fun. Something else was a lot of fun. We got the unexpected returns, at least as a one-off, of Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley to celebrate their respective championship wins at WrestleMania, alongside Raquel Gonzalez, the new NXT Women's Champion. This was such a sweet moment. You know, I if you don't know, these all three of these women are very close friends. They came up together in the system. On air, Rhea Ripley and Raquel Gonzalez had this heated feud just a couple months ago. But, you know, in real life, they have come up together. They are friends. And now they have this really nice moment where they celebrated their, you know, kind of their coinciding triumphs. And that was really cool. I don't think anybody necessarily saw that coming, but it was just a nice way to kind of add a nice, you know, sentimental and emotional moment to a show, especially this feeling of it's a new era. So it's also kind of like a closing the chapter on the Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair era officially, and also kind of kickstarting this Raquel Gonzalez, you know, her own run here. What do you think of this moment, Rob, before we talk about
MMA? All for wholesomeness, okay? We have three wholesome queens just standing in the ring, celebrating, being great in their fields. I couldn't have asked for a cooler surprise. Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Raquel Gonzalez, all so important to what makes NXT NXT. It really is building the future, and the future is now.
Yeah. It really is. I thought this was a really nice touch. And then right after this segment, we saw WWE shared this picture of the three champions with Triple H to kind of officially, you know, show that the future is now. And that was what a bunch of the tweets about it said, both from fans and WWE alike. That was definitely the clear idea here. But there's just a lot to dig into tonight, from the main event to these champions returning. Then just before this moment, we saw Frankie Monet finally make her NXT debut. And as pretty much, you know, everyone and their brother expected, Frankie Monet was indeed Taya Valkyrie. And I just, as soon as she came down to the ring, she felt like a star. Like, she's definitely has that presence. And especially if you followed her career before she got signed by WWE, she was a star in Impact Wrestling. She's been very successful, you know, all over the wrestling business. So I think this is a great way to really kind of elevate Raquel Gonzalez further up in terms of her own standing in NXT, a great potential, if not first challenger, you know, kind of first maybe major feud, because made it clear she's coming for the title sooner rather than later. I like this a lot. Nothing too crazy here, but, you know, just a nice way to kind of bring Frankie Monet or Taya Valkyrie right into the spotlight there. But at least that's how I look at it.
You know, Frankie Monet, let me be clear. When Taya Valkyrie got signed, me and everybody else said, this woman needs to go straight to Raw. She could have fought Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship, and it would have been entirely believable. Okay. Taya Valkyrie, Frankie Monet, I'm going to have to get used to saying that. I really believe is in NXT to get some equity behind the name Frankie Monet, instead of, because obviously she shows up on Raw and it's going to be, hey, look, it's Taya Valkyrie, the wife of John Morrison. I think, honestly, she's got like 6 months to a year max in NXT. She could go up to Raw anytime she wants. That dog is adorable. That dog is, I want that dog. You know, that dog is the act. That dog is the star. And it's going to be great to see what she does. She's one of the best in the world, and I'm glad to see her in NXT.
Yeah, I think, you know, she's a great addition to what has already been a great women's division. And I'm really looking forward to see what the future holds for her, both in NXT and beyond. And I definitely agree with you that, you know, she probably shouldn't have gone right to Raw for that exact reason, that she would have been viewed as, you know, John Morrison's wife. And that wouldn't be fair, because she's definitely very much a star in her own right.
I would argue that at this stage in the game, Frankie Monet is more valuable to a brand than John Morrison. Frankie Monet is a huge star and a huge asset to WWE, NXT, any brand that she chooses to be on.
Absolutely. You know, this is a great way to add even more star power to NXT. However long it may last, I think it will be definitely beneficial, especially when NXT is starting this new era on Tuesday nights. One way that tonight felt like the start of this new era was we got a new NXT Cruiserweight champion. Kushida finally pulled off the big one. He beat Santos Escobar. Now, I'm going to admit it, I was live tweeting during this match, and Kushida came out and answered Escobar's open challenge, and I was like, well, I guess it's time for Kushida to lose another big match. And then I tweeted like halfway through, like, no, this is fun, but we know Kushida's going to lose. And he didn't. Kushida won the title. He beat Santos Escobar. And finally, he won a big match. So maybe there's still hope for Kushida here in NXT. I was very excited about this for Kushida. I'm always, as long as it kind of makes sense, or, if it's done well, I'm usually a fan of these unexpected title changes, because I don't think anybody expected Kushida to win here, especially just the week after Esquire won, unified the titles at Stand Deliver. And then I started wondering why Escobar won that match at TakeOver if he was going to lose the title here. And it quickly became clear because Kushida was confronted by Jordan Devlin backstage, the former Cruiserweight champion. So it looks like that's where we're heading pretty quickly here. What do you think of this, the title change and this likely feud with Jordan Devlin, Robert?
I think it's surprising that 6 days or 5 days after you put the belt on Santos Escobar and you have him unify those belts in such a great ladder match that you would move on. However, that aside, this is awesome. This is the Kushida we've been dying to see. He had new gear, and this is about the time that the bat signal flashed and I was told, hey, we need ya. And I turn on NXT to watch Kushida win the belt, and I'm here for it. I am down for this. Do I see Santos being called up by our good friend, loyal viewer, Laura The Rock? Do I see him being called up? I would like to see it, personally. No, I think he's just going to move into a different rank in the NXT scene.
I think that's very fair. Maybe he gets a rematch, and then I think in some ways, especially if you look back at WWE history, it can feel like, there's this cruiserweight, I don't want to say stink, but this cruiserweight, negative association where it's like you're
the
like
bubble. Put into a bubble, you get put into a vacuum, and at some point you need to break out in order to best elevate your own career.
Yeah, and I think Santos Escobar can definitely do that. Like Laura Rock asking if he could get called up. I think, of the people on NXT, I think he's probably on a short list of people that could get called up sooner rather than later. I tweeted about it when he came out on the show tonight. I thought, if WWE plays the cards right, they've got a really good chance to make a big star here. Not to make unnecessary comparisons, but every time I see Santos Escobar, it's like this, combination of a little bit of Rush in Ring of Honor, a little bit of Eddie Guerrero, a little bit of Angel Garza, even just like kind of every, all these top stars of Mexican wrestling, Lucha Libre, whatever you want to say. He's like this perfect combination of all of that, of each kind of disparate element of it. So I definitely think he could get called up. Maybe an early estimate would be maybe the end of the year, depending how the next couple months go. Because I think that the rumors have suggested that WWE wants to kind of build another top Mexican or Latino star. Didn't see that with Andrade, unfortunately. So maybe this could be Escobar's role here. Maybe.
I mean, look, Andrade was like, they want to branch into Lucha Libre so they can have more talent backstage and catering. I thought that was a huge diss to the company, but let's be real, the company sleeps on too many great talents. I hope they don't sleep on Escobar. Escobar is, he exudes stardom in a way that all three brands need right now.
All three brands need desperately. So that is why I do think he could get called up at some point. Speaking of getting called up, there's definitely some buzz that Roderick Strong could move into the main roster. He handed in his notice to leave NXT tonight to NXT general manager William Regal. He said, I'm done. I'm leaving. And I don't know what this means. I don't know if he's actually leaving, but it does seem pretty definitive. He handed him an envelope, presumably with his notice inside of it. And a lot of the instant reactions were wondering whether he'll move to Raw or SmackDown. We've, of course, seen the Undisputed Era breakup. So he's kind of been the odd man out. I'll say alongside Bobby Fish in this story where, we've seen Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole being the top two stars in that feud. And now Roderick Strong has kind of been in a slump or in the background here. And even when he's on TV, he's usually been losing. I don't know where I really see this going. I noted during the show that, if he does move the main roster, that would kind of upend all the logic about call-ups, where it's like usually a champion will have a good reign of the title, they'll lose it, they'll get called up, or someone will be in a story in this heated storyline and they'll you know, look really good in the storyline. Even if they lose that the final match, they'll still have, you know, a lot of momentum. Roderick Strong doesn't really have that momentum right now. He's had success in the past in NXT, but, you know, if you're looking at, you know, his recent history, not so much. So I think that'd be interesting to see someone kind of in that position potentially going up to the main roster, because then, you know, what does that mean for kind of that difference between NXT and the main roster? What do you think of this, Robert?
I think Roderick Strong is the core player that any middle rank division could have. Roderick Strong is like the archetype of an Intercontinental champion. He is the perfect technician. He gets it. He's shown so much personality in the UE. Roderick Strong is going to go up to the main roster. He's going to be able to give a fight. Oh, at least I hope. I don't know if this is like a swerve that they're just going to keep him on NXT. Maybe he'll be in a new brand. Who even knows? But Roderick, think about this. Think about Roddy versus Apollo. Roddy versus Cesaro. Roddy versus Bryan. Roddy versus Edge. I mean, like, there's so many matches. Obviously, I'm kind of pinning him on SmackDown because I like the IC belt for him a little bit more than the US belt. But I think it's exciting. I like the Marina was there. It added an element of realness. Like, that's his real wife. She does work for the company. These days, she's more into the up, up, down, down stuff and the BRE start. But I like seeing her there.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice touch. It definitely made it feel a little more legitimate, where it's like it's a man and his wife, you know, handing in his notice for that's what you, you know, or at least if not, even if not in person, like that's what would happen in real life. Like, you know, a couple would, you know, kind of depart in that sense. So then it does make you wonder, you know, if this is actually happening. And then I like what you just pitched about him potentially going to SmackDown, could become like a real workhorse in the mid card on a show that's full of very talented people. Definitely plenty of dream matches that could await him there. Speaking of dream matches, a lot of wondering about, you know, what's next for Karrion Kross, the new NXT champion. He opened up the show here and kind of, you know, cut a good promo, but nothing too groundbreaking, where he just said, you know, I'm the champion. I'm going to defend this title and I dare anybody to try and come and stop me. But we didn't really get any hint of who's next. And I thought that was an interesting touch. Usually, you know, you get a big title change and then you even get some hint that, you know, somebody's going to come for that title. We got a promo from Pete Dunne later in the show hinting that he's back on the winning side of things and he wants to challenge for titles again, but this wasn't necessarily a direct setup for a potential match, let alone feud there. I will note, as DJ Cassier saying here, it was a babyface promo, so we might be getting a more a good guy Karrion Kross rather than the evil incarnate version we've been getting before that. I like this though. I noted after he won the title that I wasn't really sure if I saw him working as a babyface, but I thought, you know, this was pretty good, and I liked the way that they handled it, whereas like he wasn't a, you know, 100% stereotypical babyface, but it was very much more along that vein. And this is definitely something that I've always thought about Karrion Kross, as friend of this Ronaldo is saying. He looks exactly like the kind of guy that Vince McMahon dreams about. And he's got the look, the presence, the size. And now if you throw in a pretty darn good promo, he's got the whole package, at least in my
eyes. Think that Karrion Kross is a unique guy, and he has that intangible. I think he could fit in the Hogan era. I think he could fit in the Bret era. I think he could fit in the Austin era, the John Cena era. Doesn't matter. He is that good. Yeah, it was babyface promo. It's weird to say babyface heel with talking about a character like that. I think next challenger, maybe one more with Balor before Balor goes on to do whatever he's going to do. At the end of the day, I think he will remain a tweener and just kind of fight all sides, because really, it's don't want to steal the Aleister Black line, but you know, no man is truly good, no man is truly evil. I think he fits that archetype as well.
Yeah, I think this is definitely a chance for WWE to kind of experiment with that, you know, somewhat outdated character model of good and evil, you know, babyface heel. And we saw that we have been seeing that with Edge, so maybe that could kind of indicate even just a slow shift in the general philosophy of, you know, these more gray area characters. And I think that could be really entertaining, especially, I mean, I think it's worked very well with Edge. I think, at least going off of tonight, I think Cross is in a good position to make it work as well. Stephen Chambers wondering if we could see Cross versus Walter, battle of two dominant champions. I think that'd be really cool.
I mean, I want to see Walter against everybody. Walter can chop his way to the top of all divisions, and I would believe it. I do think that will happen one day, just not yet.
Yeah. Walter and Imperium in general did get a video package kind of making it clear they'll be sticking around. And Imperium attacked Killian Dane after Dane and Maverick unsuccessfully challenged MSK for the tag titles at the beginning of the show. MSK got booed in this match, and I didn't understand why. And I saw some speculation that it was simply because Beth Phoenix was wearing an MSK shirt at the broadcast table. And that doesn't make sense to me. I'm like, even if that's like, okay, if that's the reasoning, but like, what's wrong with Beth Phoenix wearing the merch? Like, that's fine. But I thought this is kind of weird that MSK got booed just a week after they're really hot baby faces. Like, I don't get this at all.
Because wrestling fans change their minds more than I do when deciding whether or not to order a pizza. It's wrestling fans are the most fickle at times, and it really makes it hard to get a gauge on where to go. I wouldn't want to be a promoter, a writer, a whatever in this era, because you can't tell those stories the way that they are meant to be told.
It's true. It's the nature of the beast. And ironically, that's, I'll say, maybe one of the positives of the Thunderdome era, where it's like, if you can kind of literally pipe in whatever action you want, you can control the narrative in a lot of ways, to borrow a phrase from EC3. And, you know, you can kind of manufacture that, you know, that reaction, and you can tell those stories. Interesting idea from DJ Cassier here. Even though we were saying that it might not be a great idea to pair Ty Valkyrie and John Morrison immediately, maybe we see John Morrison eventually come to NXT, challenge Karrion Kross. I think that'd be pretty cool. You know, those two guys formerly started Impact Wrestling. They've some history otherwise as well. Or at least their paths have crossed here and there, and that could be pretty fun. Kind of a, you know, an unconventional idea compared to some of these. You know, Sean Acuff wondering if we could see Karrion Kross and Tommaso Ciampa. Definitely, that makes a lot of sense. We talked about that last week, and also maybe the match with Walter or Pete Dunne. Those it seems to be a little more definitely in the short term future. Whereas the John Morris match could, maybe that's an option down the road.
One of the few that we actually saw Cross do while in Impact.
Yes. Yeah. So there is definitely that history there. And we have seen, even just at WrestleMania, we saw Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley face off in a world title match. Obviously, those two had a feud in Impact Wrestling. And we see WWE does sometimes kind of run back that history, even indirectly, where they will kind of borrow from those outside influences, where it's like, those two guys' history, let's kind of run it back here. One thing I wanted to pick your brain about, Robert, and kind of what Nando is hinting at here, what he's saying, aren't the fans of NXT mostly wrestlers and staff? And that kind of leads me into a question where, you know, we're watching NXT, and it's now in this like revamped arena, and now NXT for several weeks, if not months now, has had limited fans. Do they have screens? I'm blanking right now.
They do have, okay. So the CWC, the Capitol Wrestling Center setup, is some fans in the front row, and they do have Thunderdome screens, but the Thunderdome screens are showing old captured footage of fans from the Thunderdome.
Okay. But why would WWE put live fans like this in the CWC, and they've been doing this for weeks now, yet they have not done this for the main roster shows, when you know the whole narrative has been the shows are better when you've got even just some fans there to add that real energy? And NXT does have a very different atmosphere, where you've got actual people cheering, even if, as Nando's saying, if it's mostly wrestlers, staff, or, you know, or even if some of them are real fans, it is people. They are people, you know, and that to me, that is a very valid, I don't know, point of conversation, at least, to wonder why, even if you say the Thunderdome for the main roster, it's a different setup. I just think they're kind of missing out here, especially if we're looking at a couple more months until we get another live show like WrestleMania.
I think they're missing out, but I also think NXT is a show that requires the real visceral emotions of people to truly get across what that brand is. The Thunderdome can be pretty and have all the lights and all the screens, and it fits more of WWE as a whole, saying we are this forward-thinking, innovative brand that is using this high-tech technology to connect with our universe, even though they cannot be here, because we are then, now, together, forever. Like, it's just a branding thing. It's a corporate speak thing. It's a mindset. That's kind of where I fall with it.
I just think it's interesting because looking at it from the outside, it's like, it just feels like there could be, you know, a room for both. Like where you've got the Thunderdome and the virtual fans on the screens, and you have some, even if it's not the same setup, some fans around the arena, to add that real energy as well. Even if you want to kind of, like you said, bulk up that corporate speak of, oh, look at us doing this very modern thing. I don't know. I thought about it tonight, and I was a little surprised that, you know, it's the same company, it's NXT and WWE, and that there is that kind of stark difference continuing to be the case, that just we have not seen on the main roster. I guess we're not going to. I wouldn't know why they would change it at this point until we do get more regular shows with live fans. But either way,
I think, at the end of the day, it's working for them. I think they have a more devoted fan base that's more connected to NXT, that they can just go, hey, you guys are always here anyway. You know, why don't you try this thing out and we can try this. Izzy's always there, which is fun. You know, like it's more of a family type atmosphere at NXT.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's just, especially, I guess, you know, it's Tuesday, we're coming off WrestleMania weekend, the live energy of the show is really, and then coming back to the Thunderdome atmosphere was definitely a drop off. So, and then even coming in NXT tonight, having some fans there, I'm starving for that fan energy, Robert. So I just wanted to talk about that a little bit. But to circle back to the NXT title picture a little bit, Sean Akoff saying that Tommaso Ciampa and Kairos would be nice, you know, to circle back to that feud from last year. I think that would be one of the more logical projections at this point. And we didn't get a hint of that. Instead, we saw Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher suggesting that they'll be coming after MSK and the tag titles. So yet again, like, we don't really know what to expect with the world title scene here, at least, you know, in a definitive sense, where you can imagine Pete Dunne, you can imagine Walter, maybe, but definitely nothing was.
There's always the demon, you know. There's always that ace up their sleeve. I know Finn Balor's done interviews where he says that would be a regression, but that's always an easy marketing point you can do. I'm very much thinking in the way of marketing this evening, and that's always an easy marketing tool.
Yeah, it is, and you know, that would definitely be a very, you know, distinct matchup with Karrion Kross and his very, like, unique entrance and presence, and the demon, you know, very, very much the same thing. You know, that'd be a pretty cool, especially, as I said, you've got NXT, they do have some live fans, so you would have some of that energy there as well. I think that would be definitely something worth considering. As you said, Finn Balor has made it clear that that's not something he's really looking to do right now, but maybe if NXT management really pushes them to, he might give in and do it anyway. I don't know. I think that'd be fun though, and at least we can sit here and say that in as fantasy booking goes, that'd be very fun. But overall though, I thought this was a very strong start to the NXT Tuesday Night era. I enjoyed it a lot. From the Belair and Ripley returns to Frankie Monet's debut to Karrion Kross giving that babyface promo. Again, nothing groundbreaking, but I thought it was good. A nice tag title match. Putting aside the fact that MSK got booed for no reason other than fans being fickle, a fun main event with a little kidnapping sprinkled in as well. NXT, it's they're doing a lot of fun things right now, and we got this little mystery with Roderick Strong. You know, this did feel like a very, like, kind of a reshuffling of the deck in a lot of ways, and just a very strong step forward in this new era for NXT, and I'm excited, and I very much felt this way after TakeOver last week, and tonight's show did nothing to make me feel very differently. So I will go for I'll go for an 8 tonight. I'll go for an 8.
I'm going to be considerably higher. I'm going to go for a 9. I think NXT is better off on its own. I think the drama of the Wednesday Night War being gone is going to ultimately help this brand grow and be able to bring its own underground flavor again against the somewhat stale main roster. I like that we saw a lot of intergender wrestling tonight. I'm not always a big fan. Yeah, nice. Tyler Treese giving it a 6.9. Look, I'm not always the biggest fan of intergender stuff, but I think it worked here. It worked for to see Shotzi, you know, in there with the guys. See, Ember hit a perfect eclipse on Austin Theory. Ember's eclipse is so good. Of course, we talked about the kidnapping stuff. MSK did great. I'm excited to see where Imperium and Walter go from here. I'm very excited to see where this goes. Also, no Cole and O'Reilly directly, but we did see them on stretchers where Adam Cole was still yelling and screaming and swearing, revenge upon Adam Cole.
Yeah. That was fun. Yeah. Fun, but also a little questionable. I was like, they just went through this devastating no holds barred match and they're still like, you know, screaming at each other and all that. I didn't know if that was necessarily the best way. Everybody in Fiero, Dexter Lumis 10 out of 10. And she, individually giving him a 10.
If we're being honest, many individuals in that main event are a 10 out of 10. Many. It's some great looking people on the NXT roster.
Yeah, it's great. Hey, the wrestling's what matters, and it's a great wrestling show. But we definitely saw a lot of good feedback. A lot of people. We got nines. We got tens. We got just a lot of positive energy coming out of this show, and I'm looking forward to it.
No, don't ignore this. Tyler Treese wants to know why you have such a deep voice, and I'm here to tell you, Tyler, that right now it's to balance out the fact that my voice has very little bass, and it's a smooth balance what we got going on here. It's like, lime and Coca-Cola. It just works. It just works, Tyler.
Yeah, that's what I'll say about it. I think Robert and I make a great pairing, and that's If you want to break it down to the difference in our voices, more power to you. But it was a fun show tonight, this one included, and I definitely enjoyed watching NXT tonight and kind of getting into this new era of NXT. Next week, we did see that Saray, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, will be debuting yet another newcomer to this NXT Women's Division, and we will see Kyle O'Reilly in person next week to see what's next for him. So it looks like the second week of the Tuesday Night Era will be great as well. So with lots of good energy surrounding the show and kind of continuing into this new direction for NXT. And yet all at the same time, I did know that I noticed a lot of people were saying that it felt like NXT kind of returned to the roots of this developmental feeling rather than a show that was really trying to keep up with AEW. And I think that's for the best. Now NXT can be itself, and that is a good thing. So I'm excited about it.
That is a good thing. You know what else is a good thing? Everything we've got going on at WrestleZone.com. We have hours upon hours upon hours of interviews, podcast content, weekly podcasts. There's a wrestling show every day of the week. So that likely means you're getting a podcast from WrestleZone.com every day of the week as well. Colin is doing great coverage of Ring of Honor Wrestling, such an untapped market. Colin, tell them about the Monday night Ring of Honor recap you do.
Every Monday night, I do the Recap of Honor, Ring of Honor podcast. It's right after the Watch Ring of Honor watch party on Fight TV. Ring of Honor, their broadcasting schedule is flexible in the sense that, like, some you can watch if you are in certain parts of the country or if you get certain broadcasting, it's available on Thursdays. But I always watch on Mondays because, Fight TV, nice and reliable. So that's how I do it. And it makes sense to do it on Raw. Yeah, do it on Monday, right before Raw, and do it in a nice, to pair it like that. And I talk all things Ring of Honor and Ring of Honor news. Now I'm doing the Raw post show with John Clark as well.
By God, this man, it's not Monday Night Raw. It's not Ring of Honor. It's Monday Night Colin. This man is kicking all kinds of ass. Then you've got the Wednesday night show where we wrap up AEW. You know, you've got the Friday show where I'll be here with Bill Pritchard. We'll talk Impact Wrestling. You know, we've just got so much good stuff coming for you at wrestling.com. Colin, it's a beautiful life, Colin.
It's a beautiful life. We're doing great things here at WrestleZone. I'm very, very proud to be a part of it. Very excited to be continuing to do all these great things, with WrestleZone, because we all enjoy wrestling. I enjoy wrestling. I hope you do as well. And that's what we all try to do here together.
You know what, though, Colin? We're going to do one more great thing. So, as you've noticed, obviously, we're gushing over Colin, right? But that also means, and I don't know if you want to chime in here, about the raise that you got. You know what? Actually, yeah, tell them about that. Tell them about the raise you got.
If I'm allowed to, and as Tyler Trace here in the comments saying, Tyler Trace, former current senior editor of WrestleZone, he'll be moving on to a new position. Very exciting for him, but that also means that I'll be moving into a new position, taking his job as the senior editor of WrestleZone, meaning I'll be, doing more stuff.
He is the right-hand man. He is the Jey Uso to Bill Pritchard's Roman Reigns. Okay? He is the right-hand man. But I want you to pull up that comment from DJ Cassier.
You got it, Robert.
So, yes, as you've noticed, Colin has taken on more of the podcast responsibilities here. And obviously, I'm stepping in to help, and you guys have seen me a lot with Kevin Kellum. And Kevin Kellum and WrestleZone, for now, are parting ways. He's going to go his way. We're going to go our way. He's going to continue doing great things in the world. WrestleZone's going to continue to thrive. I'm sure there will be opportunities to work again with Kevin in the future. But for right now, everybody's going to go their separate ways. We can't thank Kevin enough for the hours of effort and the energy that he put in the WrestleZone, and we're going to keep that same spirit going forward. So for now, Kevin won't be on these, but there will be an opportunity to work together again in the future, I'm sure.
Well said. And I will say that, I'm very fortunate to be doing these shows now, to be, getting the job of senior editor. I'm very excited about it. Tyler Trace has done great work with WrestleZone to officially say on the air. I will definitely miss him. He's done such a great job with us, doing great things for WrestleZone, and I very much hope to follow in that same vein, and I will do my very best to do so. And that includes doing these shows for you all, doing my best alongside Robert, alongside John, and alongside the rest of the team to keep you guys entertained, to give you guys news and post shows, whatever it may be, to keep you guys entertained and to help you enjoy wrestling as we do. And that is what we do here at WrestleZone.
And that's, that's just some housekeeping. But if you want to follow me, you can check me out at DudeFelice on Twitter. As Tyler also said in the comments, I do 50 of these podcasts, whether it's for Here, whether it's for Fightful, whether it's for Smart Out Moment, Fanboys Anonymous, whether it's for Rest Friends, with Iridian Fierro and her cousin Teddy. Colin, we were on that this week. Go check that out. I get really salty about WrestleMania. I say some things about Logan Paul. Go check out the Rest Friends podcast on YouTube, Spotify, everywhere. Go get their merch at What a Maneuver, because they deserve to be spotlighted as well. And that's it for me. Colin, take us home.
I mean, like I said, especially now, you're going to be seeing a lot more of me. So I hope that's a good thing if you're watching this. And I'm very excited, again, to be doing these shows and enjoying wrestling with you all. And Robert and I both, thank you very much for listening. Robert, thank you so much for answering the bat signal, coming in tonight, coming in clutch, doing the show last minute. We all greatly appreciate it. And I very much enjoyed hearing your insight on NXT. And as I've been saying, tonight we've been doing, we do one thing above all others here at WrestleZone. And Robert, can you tell me what that is?
Just enjoy wrestling.
Indeed.